Thank you, Ronnie. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, and we'll read our text in a few moments. This morning we come to the second message from the theme, How Firm a Foundation. And we're going to talk about how that when God saves us, which was our subject last Sunday, how He then makes us secure. Secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful doctrine of the New Testament church. Not everyone accepts that. Not everyone believes that. And I don't mean in this building. I'm just talking about in all of Christianity. The doctrine perhaps is one that's used or given to Baptists. Maybe totally, I don't know. Once saved, always saved. But it's a doctrine of the Bible. Not everybody that has membership has sonship. Just know that. That's a shame, but it's true. There are unbelievers, and you can recognize them. There are also make-believers, and they are in the church sometimes. But never once does it say that an unbeliever or a make-believer is secure. Never says that anywhere, never indicates that. It only says that the believers are secure. Christ lives within us. And last Sunday we talked about, and I brought a message on salvation. Today we're going to talk about the fact that we are indeed secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've asked Lynn Thomas, those of you that are visiting this morning, to come and share a testimony. 9 years ago, she was diagnosed with cancer, and she's fought the battle. And I thought it would be good to look, as she now, 9 years later, looks back on those 9 years filled with all kind of emotional drama and emotional things that goes on with a diagnosis like that, how the fact that she indeed is secure in the Lord Jesus Christ has helped her along the way. Now, she may address that. She may go another direction. And I give her the liberty to share whatever's on her heart this morning. But I want you to prayerfully hear her as she comes and shares about the security of the believer. Come, Lynn.
Like Ronnie, I'm nervous too. But I feel that any time that we're called upon to share our story and share our faith with others, we should not turn it down. And when Jim asked me to do this, it just feels like an honor to be able to honor our Lord in this way. And 9 years ago, when Ted and I faced this announcement from the doctor that said that I had multiple myeloma, Ted asked the doctor, how long do we have? And the doctor said, with treatment, 5 to 7 years. Without treatment, 6 months to 2 years. Well, it's been 9 years. I have not had radiation, chemo, or the transplant that they thought that I would have. And my blood markers continue at a level that keeps us concerned, and we have to watch it closely. And if it ever elevates beyond what it is now, it will mean all of those treatments. But the good news is through all of this, God has been so gracious and so good to us and given us so many blessings and gifts that I almost feel like sometimes the diagnosis of this cancer was a gift, because it has changed our lives in so many ways, and we appreciate the things that matter most. We appreciate the love that God has given us and the love that He's given us for each other. We now take pleasure in things that maybe we didn't take time to before. And I want to tell you that one of the most precious gifts is that this church has prayed for me for 9 years. And that was because Jesus has answered your prayers and mine that I'm able to stand here and tell you this. And the security of my salvation is the only way that I could have faced this. Because, as you know, life is not smooth sailing, and Jesus told us to expect trouble. So we know that we're going to have troubles. It just depends on, are we depending on Him to get us through this situation? And I feel like that many times that my family has hurt as much as I have because of this concern. But yet they've been blessed, and they've blessed me by being here and being so close and keeping me in prayer. And as some of you may know, we've asked for prayer for other areas in our lives beyond the myeloma. And those prayers are being answered as well. I'd like to share that with you. And I just couldn't say enough about when we're disappointed and when we're in pain and we're questioning, how will we face this? Where will I get the strength to face this? That we know, or I know, that it's because of Jesus. And I feel His presence. God always is there when I'm in that MRI for 2 hours or 4 hours or whatever it takes. He's with me. I'm claustrophobic. And talking to Him while I'm in there is also a gift. Being able to talk to Him anywhere, anytime during these troubles. And I know many of you are facing the same uncertainties in life right now. You've had life-changing experiences that you're trying to step up and say, Lord, I can do this with your help. But it's not always easy. And sometimes we hear speakers tell you how to do it. There is no way to tell you except to just pray and to depend on your security and your salvation. And just a quick example of some of the things that we get to do for Him because He's given us this additional time. Recently flew back from Elmira, New York, visiting our daughter. And when I fly alone, I don't like to talk to anybody. I just like to take my seat and pretend nobody else is around and just be quiet, read or nap. And this young man next to me wanted to talk. Okay, so I find out he is an oncologist. Now, we have a 2-hour flight from Philadelphia to Memphis. We talked the entire way. After he told me about what he did, and he explained a lot about cancer, at some point I told him about my situation and the good news, and he was so excited. He said, You've been 9 years. He said, are you going to have a celebration? And I said, you know, maybe I will. But during that 2 hours talking with him, I was able to share with him why I think that I've been stable for 9 years. And he agreed. I feel like he was probably a Christian, but at least I had the opportunity to share the good news with him. And so today I'm thinking every day we should celebrate because we have that security.
Every day celebrate because we have security. Let's read from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Some verses that I think will bless your heart this morning. Stand with me as we begin with the 28th verse and read to the end of the chapter. Thank you so much, Lynn. We appreciate you sharing your thoughts this morning. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and in whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, says Paul, and if he is, we ought to be, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Eternal security is a wonderful doctrine that God has blessed us with. We are absolutely in awe of the fact that God loves us and Jesus shed his life for us. And I want to share with you three things this morning that will help us to understand, if you need any help, in the fact that you are secure. The first one is this. We are indeed secure by the labor of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are secure by the labor of Jesus Christ. If you notice the text that we read earlier this morning, and or just a moment ago, verse 31 has something that we need to pause and look at. And here's the first one. I want to tell you that God has an interest in us. He has an interest in us. An interest, and it's because that he loves us and that Christ has provided so much for us. The Bible says here that if God is for us, and it makes the statement like, well, maybe he is and maybe he's not. But that's not the intent of the Greek text. The idea is not if he is for us, but since he is for us. It's not a question mark that follows this, but it is an exclamation point that he's trying to make. And here's the following. He wants us to know that he has an interest in us. We watch maybe some television and we are the news and we hear the police are doing an investigation, and rather than saying that this person, he or she is a suspect, what they say is that that person is of interest to us. I want to tell you something this morning, my friends. When God looks down on the service of the North Hills Baptist Church, and he is doing that right now, he takes great interest in what's going on here in the minds and the lives and the hearts of people. God is interested in us. This is not a question that's being posed. There's no reservation and there is no doubt today that God loves us and he has more than an interest in us. Not only does he have an interest in us, but he has also an investment. He has made, secondly, an investment in us, according to verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He's making an investment in our lives. He's made one in yours. Since there's an interest in you, he's making an investment. Now I'll give it to you like this. I go on a car lot to look at a new vehicle. Preferably right now it'd be a new truck. I see a truck on the car lot, and it catches my eye, maybe because of the color or whatever. But I have an interest in that truck, okay? So I go over, and I walk around it. I look at it. I like what I see. And I'll tell you this. This just comes to mind. About 6 or 8 months ago, I stopped at Crane Ford in Jacksonville. And one Sunday afternoon coming to church, I've been seeing his truck sitting out there. And walked around it, looked at it. I had great interest in it. It had a $68,000 price tag on it. I lost my interest right quick. How do you do that to a truck? The investment that I was going to make in a vehicle was quickly lost, right? My interest was not there any longer. It requires some things on my part. But this is what I want to tell you. The interest and the investment that the Lord has in us and that He's made in us is that He spared not His own Son. Does that make sense? He took an interest in me. He took an interest in you. And He invested the most important thing, and let me use this, in God's life, which He hasn't, it's just a dumb statement, but you just bear with me. And that was Jesus Christ. There was no problem with the cost. He could have made other worlds that we would have destroyed. He could have done this. He could have done that. But He had an interest in me. He had an interest in you. And He made the investment. And the cost didn't matter to Him. It did matter, but Christ still came. Amen? That was the investment. I'm delighted in that. And look at this. The intention, and that's the C in this, He has an intention on my part, and the intention, not only because there's an interest, and He has made the investment, but according to verse 30, here's the intention that God has. Whom He did predestinate, them He did what? He called, and them He called, He justified. And them He justified, He did what to? He glorified. Those four things are always linked back to back. Now I'm going to ask, I'll ask this question. How many in this service this morning are born again believers? You know that without a doubt. Would you raise your hand if you know that? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord is right. Predestined, called, justified. No problem so far, is it? All past tense for us, is it not? Well, the fourth word is what? Glorified. Is that past tense or present tense or future tense? It says He glorified, so that is what? Past tense, but we are not glorified yet, are we? All of these are in the past tense, every one of them. Why is glorification on Jim's part and your part, why is that already past tense? And we have not been glorified yet. Say what? More than that. It is because of Jesus. It is because what He did for us. That's right. But God sees us glorified right now. It is a done deal with God that you are going to be glorified. If He predestined you, and if He called you, and if He saved you, He's going to finish the work and glorify you. Amen is right, Patsy. That is exactly right. It is a great thing, is it not? Don't look at this as, well, I don't know if He's going to glorify me or not. If you're His child, it's a past tense deal. God is right now. He sees you in the future as being glorified. That is security, is it not? Amen. That is security. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He took an interest in you. He invested in us by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. And His intent is to glorify us. And that won't happen until we stand in His presence. But it's a done deal with God. And I have nothing to do with us. Past tense, glorified. Listen, nothing is going to keep God from conforming us into the image of His Son. That's what's going to happen. Listen, we are so marred, we are so ruined, we are so destroyed, we are defiled people, but God is going to take every bit of that and He's going to glorify us one day. His labor makes me secure. Secondly, His life makes me secure. Look at verse 34 with me again. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He simply lays out the gospel message and the plan right there in verse 34. It gives us the price that He paid. He gave His own Son, the first part of verse 34. It gives us the power that He displayed in raising Him again, also in verse 34. And it gives us the position that Christ holds today, which is what? He is seated at the right hand of the Father. All found in verse 34. What did it cost the Father? It cost the Father the Son. What did it cost the Son? It cost Him His life. And because He gave His life, He brought Him and glorified Him. He laid it down fully, and He laid it down freely. And I can't explain that. I can't grasp that. I don't understand all there is to be said in that. I just know that Jesus was willing to do something that no one else did, and that's to give His life. The Father says, because you did, you can sit right here at my right hand. The songs and the sermons and the saints praying that God will be glorified in everything we do. And I'm telling you right now that there's a prayer meeting going on at the throne of God right now. And Jesus is praying that this service will glorify the Father. And the Holy Spirit will help us to glorify the Son. And when we leave, we will say it was great and good to have been in the house of God because we met with Him. And that's what it's all about. I stand here secure this morning because of His labor. And I stand here because of His life. And finally, I stand here before you secure because of His love. His love. It's all about His love. Verse 35 tells us that His love is enduring. And it really is. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness? And that word is nakedness here, being so terribly poor that you can't even afford the clothes on your back, or peril or sword. You can do nothing. His love is enduring, and His love is enabling. Verse 37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I think most people's concept of God is extremely, maybe very, very small. I think, and especially to those that have a problem with the doctrine of security, I think their concept of God is maybe, and salvation is something like this. Here's life that we're living and we've been saved. We're on the road, you know, to glory, so to speak. But the devil's ahead, and the church is behind, and the Christian is down, and the score is lopsided. And somehow, just before death comes, the ball is fumbled. I pick it up and run to the goal line. And just before I die, I have made it into the goal line. And with one moment to go, I have made it into God's heaven. Isn't that awful? Wouldn't that be a horrible way to live? I've got good news. We win. Verse 37 says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He's holding us today. He has conquered everything that we need to be conquered. We are more than conquerors through Christ. Not going to be secure one day. I'm secure right now. Amen. That's what it's all about. And His love is enduring. Look at the last two verses. Paul says, I'm persuaded that death, not life, nor angels, nor principalities, or powers, or things present, or things to come, not height, not depth, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Somebody should have said, praise the Lord. Amen. That's it right there. So the psalmist said it like this. In the 8th chapter in verse, and the 4th chapter in verse 8, he said, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Amen. Now that doesn't mean that there will be problems. It just says that God, He's holding us by His hand and through His love. He makes me secure. It's not up to me to be secure. God has taken care of that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand up. Prayer for our invitation. Father, we thank You this morning for the joy of knowing You as our Savior, for the peace that we have that floods our minds and hearts because of Your wonderful grace to us. We're glad this morning that we're secure, secure in Christ. I'm thankful that it's not up to me to hang on to it. You're holding me. I'm not holding You. I just pray this morning for those that may not be in the family, that You would save that one today that's lost. This morning You'd add to our church in any way we receive members. But You would right now in this invitation time get glory in every decision that's going to be made. We thank You for it in Jesus' name.